The views expressed are not necessarily those of KSCJ and Powell Broadcasting Company. This program is not intended to replace the advice of doctors or other clinical providers. Consult with your practitioner to ensure the proper course of action for you.
Welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well on AM 1360, FM 94.9, KSCJ. This program is dedicated to your mental health wellness and brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency. Here's your host, Art Silva.
Good morning, Siouxland, and welcome to When Things Aren't Going Well. This show is all about your mental wellness and how you can help yourself navigate the daily highway of life. We hope to educate and motivate you to help improve your mental wellness environment. I'm Art Silva, and our show is brought to you by Family Services, a United Way partner agency serving the Siouxland community. Our guest today is Sergeant Tom Gill from the Sioux City Police Department. Good morning, Sergeant Gill.
Good morning, Art. How are you doing this morning?
Great, thank you. I want to thank you for being with us today. And would you please share your background and your role with the Sioux City Police Department?
Sure. So first, I'm from Sioux City. I was born and raised here. Went to Catholic school my whole life. Graduated from Heelan High School in 1989.
Hey.
I then went and I played football at Westmark College, which is no longer open, but that was in Lamar's, Iowa.
Yep, I remember that, yep.
I graduated from Westmar in 1994. After I graduated from college, I got into work with the Boys and Girls Home and Juvenile Court Services, working with kids in the community, mostly in the high school and middle schools here. At that time, I worked pretty closely with the school resource officers that were in all the public high schools and public middle schools. And they kind of got me interested in police work and seeing how they helped our youth in the community. So then I tested and I got hired with the Sergeant Bluff Police Department in 1996. And I was the first school resource officer in the Sergeant Bluff Police Department.
That's a tough job.
It was a great job, and it was very rewarding. And I also coached football in Sergeant Bluff throughout the late 90s and early 2000s. I currently coach track at Sergeant Bluff High School, so I stuck with the coaching, and I just love working with kids. But anyway, I worked for the Sergeant Bluff Police Department for 3 years, and then I transferred to the Woodbury County Sheriff's Department. I worked there for a short time as a deputy sheriff until I started with the Sioux City Police Department in 2000. Since I've been on with the Sioux City Police Department, I've had a lot of great jobs, many working with kids. I worked as a school resource officer at East High School in our youth bureau. That would have been 2005 through 2008. I've worked in our ASAP unit, which is our overnight traffic drunk driving unit. I've worked in the K-9 unit, and I currently probably have the best job in the police department. I'm the community policing sergeant, so I get to work with community members. I still work with kids, and I get to work with Officer Val Rose, who's our crime prevention officer, and she's probably one of the hardest working officers in the department as far as getting our image out there and talking to kids, going into schools, reading to elementary school kids. She does a fantastic job.
Well, that is certainly some qualifications there, and we are so fortunate to have you here in Sioux City, a native, understanding and working with kids. Speaking of kids, when I was a kid, I go back to the old days of the Westerns, and you always looked at the sheriff or the marshal coming in. And let's remember, folks, they're peace officers. I've always thought of that growing up, any type of law enforcement, they're peace officers. And somehow, with all national exposure and areas of problems elsewhere, we don't want that image tainted. We have a great police department here, and the community policing program, I think, is so integral to our success in this community. And just remember, and tell your kids, peace officers, and they're here to help. So we've had a tremendous help from Sergeant Gill during his days at Boys and Girls Home. Our children are not conduct disorder, but our children are children. And we've been able to get them back, get them corralled, but we couldn't do it without the help of the police department that worked very hard to ensure the safety of our children. And that's Sergeant Gill. So it's glad to hear that you're continuing on in this field. You got to have a love for kids to do it. Let's talk about the importance of community policing.
Sure. So in the 1990s, the Sioux City Police Department started a CAST unit, which was our community policing unit. We had 9 officers that were assigned to that unit, and they were each assigned to the 9 districts in Sioux City. We've changed our approach, and we made it more of a department-wide philosophy in community policing. So now each officer and every sergeant on the police department is assigned to a community team police unit. They will be responsible for taking care of problems in that district or that neighborhood. They'll go out in the neighborhoods, talk to people if they need to, if they have some kind of neighborhood issues they want addressed. And I think it's been very effective to get every officer involved, not just the 9 officers that were assigned to the CAS team. Everyone goes to their meetings, their biannual meetings. They participate in town hall meetings, unity in the community, national night out. It's a big night where the officers get to go out and interact with the citizens in their neighborhoods they work. And it also gives the people who live in those neighborhoods a chance to meet those officers. You know, they'll be out of the squad car. They'll be swimming with them in the pools. They'll interact with them at that level. And it's kind of a great opportunity for the officers. Love it as well.
I know, being around the children, being around kids as they grow. And we see a lot of problems with the adolescents. And when we look at these problems, they seem to kind of slide downhill. Usually in this situation, there's a family issue going on, or there's something else that's troubling the kids. And the kids are the recipients of all these problems. They don't always act well in handling them. Sometimes they step outside of the boundaries that they're supposed to be in. But those are kids, and they're learning. And I think looking at the police department, I've always had that respect, put them kind of high on the altar, that they're going to be there to help. And I think we have to look at that. The police here are here to help. I love these community programs. I didn't have those when I was growing up. But we had the officer on the beat. And the same kind of deal. You got to know them. They got to know you. And they would help you. So I want folks out there to understand we have to, as a community, take a role in community policing. We're partners in this program with the police. So if they're reaching out to come out to us and the various events that Sergeant Gill just mentioned, let's participate. Let's spread the word. Let's be part of this project. Working together, we're going to have tremendous success.
And that's exactly right. And I'll just give you an example here. Recently, we had a string of burglaries that were occurring at some of our convenience stores and even at a gun shop here in Sioux City. We put the pictures of the suspects, because we were having trouble identifying who our suspects were. We put the pictures out on our social media platforms. And within 24 hours, we already had enough tips to figure out who those suspects were.
Way to go, community.
Yes, and that was all about our community involvement, and it comes back to community policing.
Hey, I'm Art Silva, and we're talking with Sergeant Tom Gill of the Sioux City Police Department, and we're talking about community policing. So let's continue our discussion. Sergeant, can we switch over to and have a little discussion on mental health?
Sure.
And how do you see that in the community, and what problems it creates for the police department, and what are some of your solutions?
So one of probably the biggest issue that we face with the Sioux City Police Department right now is our homeless population. Our transient our homeless population is probably bigger than it's ever been, especially in the downtown area. And most of these people we know on a first name basis, and they know us because we deal with them every day. And most of these people are suffering from a mental health crisis. Now it's getting a lot better as far as services. We do have, through Siouxland Mental Health, a mobile crisis unit they call MCAT.
That's great.
And that's utilized quite a bit by officers now, especially during the overnight hours. Because sometimes it's 2 o'clock in the morning or 3 o'clock in the morning and you're dealing with someone that's in a mental health crisis. It's good to have someone who's trained more than a police officer is. You know, we have training that we go through every year on mental health, and we just had a 3-hour training here recently on emotional stress, how it affects officers and the public. But those people from Siouxland Mental Health who are highly trained, we want to get those folks out and deal with a subject that's having a mental health crisis.
These mobile crisis units are relatively new, and they're showing up in a lot of communities. And it's a good way to help diffuse the problem, try to de-escalate the problem when the police go out. I remember the San Antonio police at one time. They had their police officers trained, and they had a small mental health unit. And they had to change it around because these officers went out with cigarettes to talk with victims out there. And but it was different because it's not a quick call. Sometimes they'd be out in the call for 2 or 3 hours, de-escalating the situation. So that was just one approach that San Antonio took. I'm glad to hear that there's training going on in Sioux City on mental health. It's just another example of the quality of the police department that we have here. So that's good to hear. We're coming up on our break right now, so please don't change that dial and continue your morning chill. We'll be right back with more of When Things Aren't Going Well right here on 1360 AM, 94.9 FM, KSCJ.
Let's face it, it happens to all of us. However, the pandemic has compounded all of our lives and activities. Even the simplest tasks seem harder. Hi, I'm Brenda Geisinger, the Chief Operating Officer at the Boys and Girls Home and Family Services. Family Services is a United Way partner agency serving children and families of our community, and we're here to help. If you'd like to learn more about Family Services, please contact us via email, website, Facebook, or phone Mary Pickens. At Family Services, we change lives.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well on KSCJ. Here's Art Silva.
Welcome back to When Things Aren't Going Well. I'm Art Silva, along with Sergeant Tom Gill from the Sioux City Police Department. And we've been talking a lot about the community policing and what they do, and it grows other programs from it. So, Sergeant Gill, let's discuss domestic violence calls. Often children witness these episodes, and they are effective, and they're very impactful on the children. What can you tell us about what the Sioux City Police Department is doing on domestic violence call when there are children involved?
Sure. So we have a great program that we started here about 3 or 4 years ago, and it's called the Handle With Care program. And so what happens is, let's say it's 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I worked these overnight calls for a number of years. And the officer might get called to a domestic violence or a disturbance. And there's family members. Usually when domestic violence occurs, it's usually one of the parties is intoxicated, whether it be on alcohol or drugs. And sometimes the kids witness that. So, and it's very traumatic for especially young children, school-age children, to see that, to see maybe a domestic violence or an assault occur in their house. And it affects those kids. And it's sad that when the officers are there at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and every adult in the house is intoxicated and there's young kids that are up and have to witness this. So what we decided to do is go with this Handle With Care program where after the officer deals with that situation, maybe they have to take someone to jail or maybe it's just a warning that they give and tell everybody to, you know, hopefully keep the peace and go to bed. But they get that child's name and their birthday. And then what they do is when they go back to their squad car, there's an icon right on their computer that they push, and it says Handle With Care. That child's name and birthday will go directly to the school district. So somebody from the school district will get that information that next morning. They'll figure out where the child goes to school, and they'll notify the school principal, who will then notify the child's teacher. Now, they don't get to know what the incident was. They don't get to know that maybe that there was a domestic assault occurred or what exactly the incident was. They just know that that child was had a traumatic incident, you know, and they're going to probably be stressed out for a while over it. The counselor is also notified so that if the child needs to go in and talk to the counselor, there's those services available. But before, you know, that child might be falling asleep in school or might have some behaviors in school and they might get in trouble for it. Well, now that the school can know that, hey, something happened with that kid or that child the night before that they're still dealing with, and it still affects them. So I think it's a great program.
You know, that addresses it. You want to break the cycle in this, and I think that is just a fantastic program. I wasn't aware of that, and I hope folks listening today understand there's a lot of things going on to intervene and to get to the root cause of a lot of these problems. Children were so affected by domestic violence calls, and after the incident was over, what do we do for the kids? So this is a great program. It gets back to the school. We participated in the Award Aware program in the schools where we had counselors in the school to help these children. And this is just a great program and another example of what goes on behind the scenes. You know, we participate in the IDAP program for domestic violence offenders. It's a good program. It helps people avoid going to jail, but really help them psychologically deal with their anger management and better ways of dealing it. Are you familiar with that program at all, Sergeant?
Sure. And they used to call it the Batterers Education Program or the BEP program, and they changed the name to IDAP, which is the Iowa Domestic Abuse Program. And it's a great program. I think it goes 24 weeks now. where the offender has to go through this training and education. And I believe the courses are an hour and a half to 2 hours in length, but it's a great program as far as getting help for these people that are, you know, involved in a domestic violence situation. One of the big things that we see is many times the victims, they also need services. They need help because a lot of times when these domestic assaults occur, the victims are either afraid to cooperate or they end up dropping the charges. And we see that happen a lot. So I think there needs to be some education and more services for the victims as well, because that's a big issue going on all over the country.
It was talk at one time of having co-ed classes, bring in both people and try to work this out for a long-term solution to this. So, I mean, it's a start. It's been going on. The program works. I've seen a lot of success with this. And it's just dealing with a social ill that we have. I look at, from what I can see from my perspective, domestic violence calls are really some of the toughest calls that our police officers have to attend to.
I would agree that especially when the person at the time usually is in a different state of mind. They're either intoxicated on alcohol or drugs. You know, the next day they might be a totally different person. And that's why I think it's a good idea to do these co-ed classes with the victim as well. Because most times, I would say probably 9 times out of 10 in these domestic violence type of situations, it's a relationship that they end up getting back together, you know. So bringing the victim in, I think, is a great idea.
Keeping families together is so important. We're dealing with families in 2023, and it's just one area that we need to make improvement in, and there are great programs out there to help. So it's kind of like getting yourself back in touch with your inner self to go forward. But it's great to hear. We have great success. Marriages stay together. And who are the winners in those situations? The children. It doesn't create as much stress on these kids. They see a family unit, and these kids need that support. Sergeant Gill, this has been really informative. I'm going to turn the rest of the show over to you to talk about what you're doing, where the Sioux City Police Department's going, and how we can help.
Sure. So one of the issues that we're seeing, especially in the winter months, is stolen vehicles. So what happens is it's cold in the morning, and you go out and start your vehicle. These electric starts are the best way to go. That way your keys aren't in the vehicle. But if you go out and you start your vehicle, don't leave your keys in the vehicle. Don't leave the vehicle running with the keys in it, because it seems like every morning in the wintertime we get stolen vehicles. And most times it's just a crime of opportunity. Somebody sees a vehicle running, they're going to check to see if the door's open. If it's open, there's keys in it. They're going to take it to where they need to go, or else they're going to walk and freeze. So don't leave your vehicle running with the keys ignition is one of the big things I want to address this morning. Because
they don't have that problem in Florida, I don't think.
Probably not. But another thing, we're in our big recruiting season right now, so we're hiring with the Sioux City Police Department. We just got approved for 4 additional officers, so that should get our numbers up to 131 sworn police officers with the police department. We test every year. Our application period just started Monday, the 20th of February, and it goes until March 26th. We'll be doing our written and physical agility testing at Western Iowa Tech Community College in April. April 22nd is our testing day. And I just want to let people know that we've just got approval. It used to be you had to have 60 college credits to apply with the Sioux City Police Department. We found that we were one of the only police departments in the Midwest that required that college. So we dropped that to a high school diploma or equivalent to be able to apply. Now, we do have incentives. If you have a 4-year college degree, doesn't matter what your degree's in, you will start at level 2 in our pay scale instead of level 1. Now, the level 2 officers that are on that pay scale right now are making in the upper $70,000 mark, close to $80,000 a year. Also, if you have a 4-year degree or bachelor's degree, again, it doesn't matter what it's in, on your 3rd-year anniversary, you'll reach what they call master patrolman pay. Most of our master patrolmen are making $100,000-plus with that college degree.
Well-deserved, I'll tell you. It's tough work, and it's good to hear that. We are putting resources into law enforcement. I think it's, and plus the training that goes on. So if you're out there and you want to be a police officer And the local follows Sergeant Gill's lead. You know, he's been here. He knows this community. What a tremendous plus that is, knowing your community, its background, where the resources are. So if you want to go and be a police officer and serve the community, again, peace officers. I want to go back to that, peace officers. Sergeant Gill, this has been great. I'm coming up towards the end of our show. So is anything you'd like to wrap up on the Sioux City Police Department?
Just know that, hey, if you have any problems out there, you can always call the Sioux City Police Department. You can call me directly. I'm always usually around the station. I've been out recruiting on the recruiting trail lately. I was at Morningside College yesterday. I talked to Coach Ryan, who's the head football coach there. He's getting me some senior football players that are interested in law enforcement. I've been in contact with their assistant wrestling coach, Coach Peterson. He's also connected me with some senior wrestlers. I'm going to hit up Briar Cliff. We like to recruit those athletes. They usually make good police officers.
That is great news. So if you're out there and you're interested, get a hold of Sergeant Gill. We're coming up on the end of our show, so we end our show every week with a joke. Humor is good medicine for the soul. So here we go. And keeping in the theme of the police department, knock, knock. Who's there? Dishes. Dishes who? Dishes the police. Open up. So with that, we want to thank Sergeant Gill. And thanks to our listening audience today. Want to give a shout out to Country Celebrations and Sneakies. They did a great job hosting Face Off for Charity. Great venue and great food. Highly recommend Country Celebrations for your next event. Give Kathy a call. Sneaky's world famous chicken was a fan favorite. Don't you feel like Sneaky's chicken tonight? When Things Are Going Well will air next Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on 1360 AM, 949 FM, KSCJ. Your homework this week is to go out and have a good laugh. May the sun shine on you.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Happy trails to you till we meet again.
For more information on the services provided by Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, see them online at boysandgirlshomeiowa.org. Or you can call 712-293-4700. To get more information about family services, residential treatment, the Opportunity School, the Siouxland Family Center, and more. At Boys and Girls Home and Family Services, we change lives.